model GF, podcaster BF. And she says, what does that mean? And I just go, it's just, it's a compliment, but also a joke.
Are basement suites a thing in South Korea? The first thing I'll say, I guess, is that I'm not like an expert on, South Korean real estate. But I don't think so, to nearly the same extent that they would be in North America. There's a lot less of the idea that you would buy like a detached house. Like most adults live in apartment buildings, which I think is becoming a thing in Canada, at least, but in the cities, but outside of that, I don't know, just different. I mean, there is a lot less real estate to go around there, for sure. Yeah, not everybody in South Korea lives in the Parasite House. If you were of the opinion that represented the average living situation in South Korea, you're slightly mistaken. Don't get me wrong. I understood the message of Parasite to begin with. However, the subtext of Parasite was like, yo, that was a sick house. Like, the super text was like, these people suck. But then and so does society. But the subtext was like, damn, the house do be schmackin' though. No, I haven't watched Minari yet. I don't know, is it a paid video on demand sort of thing? I don't know, if you live in Canada, where is this available? I do want to watch it. Got to be in the right mindset for sure. It's going to move me to tears. I watched Amazon Prime. Really? It's on Prime Video? Oh, you can rent it on Amazon. Okay, dude, I might do that. If we get a chance this weekend. This is a good question. It's a very easy one for me to answer, but I'm sure there'll be some dissent. Would you rather live in the Parasite House or the house from Knives Out? 100% I'd rather live in that ultra-modern, secluded house from Parasite that's in the middle of the city center, but also has some privacy. The Knives Out house has got a bunch of stuff, you know, going for it. It's big. It's got secret passages and stuff like that. But the Parasite house is undefeated. That's the other thing. I mean, I get it. Like, if you lived in the house, you would have the means to keep it clean. But, like, the older I get, the more I see, like, big houses in media, the more I just look at it and go, like, bro, that's, like, a full-time job just to keep that place from falling apart. I don't want that. It's too much. Like, the house from Parasite is still pretty big, don't get me wrong, but, like, the house from Knives Out, I'm like, dude, now I gotta become, like a CEO of my home just to keep the place from being dusty. Like, that's hard. I don't think, you know, even in my wildest dreams of opulence, I don't think I would ever want to live in a place that requires, like, daily staff. That would, like, that's too much. What about robot staff? At that point, I could be persuaded, I think. If there was robot staff, I think I would get over it. Have the robot butler from Rocky IV. Happy birthday, Polly. The robot is gone. No, Sly, don't do it. She's out of here. Yeah, I don't, like, as a kid, I remember in fifth grade, we had a project to, like, design our dream home. And everybody did the same thing, you know, at that age. We're like, and then there's on floor 3 million, there's a ping pong table pool. But now, like, the older I get, the more I'm like, I don't want that, you know? I just want a tinier house in a better location. I'm happy where we are right now, don't get me wrong. I'm just like, you know. Oh, yeah, okay, so can I tell you what I was wondering why everybody was going question mark, question mark, question mark? It's because I picked up an item for a lot of HP that just gave me consumables instead. I literally traded like 2 red heart containers for a demon heart. Not a wise play. And I can't believe, you know, my initial hunch was like, what's chat talking about? They don't know what they're talking about. I'm the Isaac player here. What did you just say to me, you little chatter? I'll have you know I graduated top of my class from Isaac Academy. But then it turns out they were right this time. Dreamcatcher is good, by the way. Wrong? Possibly the worst movie based on a Stephen King property ever made. Truly, almost an insulting film. Actually wrong. Dreamcatcher's awful. Exactly. What did I tell you? That's what I told you. Dude, map's pretty good. Dark Tower. Okay, you know what? I've not seen it. Dreamcatcher is really bad, though. Like, this might have been from the original book, but there is a part in Dreamcatcher where a man, like, I think he poops out an alien, and then he's stuck on the toilet trying to, like, hold it in while, like, his friend is beating the door down. Like, it's just a total disaster. That's in the book. Oh, dude, this is pretty crazy. It's really bad. Like, the thing is, it's like, it's played straight is the thing. If it was a comedy, you might be like, that's funny. Like, that's kind of like a James Gunn sort of sense of humor there. But that's not it's not the way it's played in the movie. In the movie, it's played like menacingly. Like, oh, I hope he doesn't let the poop weasel get out. What's your opinion on the movie Casino? It's a good movie, man. Casino, I certify it, good movie. I think it, like, it's not as well-liked as Goodfellas, but that doesn't mean it's bad, man. Still a good movie, okay. Are you gonna play Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion? So Bear told me I should play it. I also saw it on Steam and thought to myself that it might be worth playing. When I watched the kind of trailer on Steam, I was unsold by the end of it. But I may consider giving it a try. I've heard it's short, which is... Oh, there's a lucky penny in there. One moment, please. Okay, so this is how you endlessly farm up special items. I understand. To an extent. And then... Dude, let's go! We got a box of spiders back. Heavy pog. Then we pick this up, but it doesn't give us anything. And I'm looking at, and I'm like, wait a minute, did we get... Wait, what was the point, though? we just did nothing, right? We did all that just to get nothing? You just keep farming the box over and over? But every time you... Okay, like, I'm obviously missing something. I'm okay with that. But, like, when you endlessly farm the box to get more items, like, doesn't the box just give you... You farm the box until you get to 8 spirit hearts, which gives you mom's knife. Okay, so all of this is just, it's collective engineering to get me to create the most boring run of all time. Is that the joke here? Yes, okay. Well, you know, there we go. Now I know I'm free from this prison, and I will instead just do gaming, and we'll move on. It's also, Alabaster box is worse when you take a deal with the devil. Okay, so that, if you don't take deals with the devil, the Alabaster box gives you double the payout instead. All right, well, that's noted. It's quite a complicated troll. Yeah, just relax. I mean, did you see, I replied to it on Twitter. There was the comment from the chess women's grandmaster who said, like, you've probably been backseated before, but have you ever been backseated like this? And then the video was called, like, My First Time Baking. And then the top comment was, hey, great video, just a few tips for you. And then it was, like, minimum 13 things on the list in an essay format. Like, yeah, step 12 was, like, you know, don't open the oven to check on the cookies. It would be better to get an oven that has a window on the front of it. And you're like, okay, so no problem. First time baking cookies. The constructive criticism that I have for you is buy a new oven. Really smart and good feedback. definitely feedback that was made to help the person that made the video, not just to make yourself feel like you're some kind of like authority on baking cookies or something like that. Anyway, what I was gonna say is this is nothing like that, so don't sweat it. Moving on. How about 7 cents and then 5 cents on top of it? That's 13 cents? I don't think so. That's right, it's the square hole. And what do we do with the arch shape? That's right, it goes into the square hole. Golden razor, I don't even know what it does. This item does not exist in my brain. There's no entry for it whatsoever. It's very good. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I'm like, don't tell me recipes. They're like, NL, here's one recipe. By the way, spoilers, it's alabaster box. I'm like, hey, what does this item do? They're like, take it, Kappa. Smiley face. You'll see. Can you tell me what it does? No. You'll see. Just want to know. Don't make me alt tab. Oh, my bone heart. Don't turn me into a wiki user, man. That's all I ask. Thinking about playing Returnal when it comes out? I might like to give it a try. You know, I have a... I don't know if I would call it deserved. I have a degree of skepticism surrounding just about every 3D roguelite. Like, I've never played a 3D roguelite that I enjoyed to the same extent as, like, really any 2D roguelite that I've lost my soul to. I know you're going to say, what about Risk of Rain 2? No, that's a constant source of friction between myself and chat. I just, like, I respect the game. I don't find it fun, though. Like, If you're asking for my honest to goodness truth, I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade, but my experience with Risk of Rain 2, and to some extent, honestly, like Gunfire Reborn, was that like while I was playing it, I was like, by all accounts, like on an intellectual objective level, like this should be up my alley, but I find myself just kind of like waiting for the time to pass so we can play, you know, mini golf instead. Which is not you know, I mean, before you get mad, remember, you wanted to hear it, you know? Just say, the 3D roguelites have never tickled my fancy to that degree. The closest one is Going Under, but I honestly think it's, like, just because, like, I don't like first-person shooters that much. And a lot of the 3D roguelites kind of take the form of either a third-person shooter or a first-person shooter. Neither one of which is of particular interest to me. But Returnal, like, it looks good. People have said they've had a great time with it. Like, I'm not suggesting that I think it's going to be bad. I'm more kind of setting the stage that my own expectations are kind of irrelevant. Because a lot of the time when I play them, I'm like, oh, I'm excited to play. And then when I actually play it myself, I'm like, I wish I was just playing Isaac. Just different strokes for different folks, but I'll probably give it a try, yeah. My dude just purged Slasher's Keep from his memory. It's a pretty good game. I had an okay time playing Slasher's Keep for, like, you know, a few hours, and then I kind of started to have, like, not such a great time when you got stuck in a mosquito room where you had no means to kill the mosquito for, like, 10 minutes. Anyway, it was less like of a challenge that was like, please, you know, fact check, and more of like an honest opinion, I suppose. Like, I've never really played a 3D roguelite. I have a level of skepticism towards 3D roguelites. And for that matter, like 2D roguelites as well. Like, sometimes people will be like, oh, check it out. It's like, Isaac, but you play as like a bunny. And I'm like, I'm not totally... I don't know, just cause I don't put a lot of, here we go again, I don't put a lot of value on the idea of like, hey, it's like, you know, a new roguelite. Like, that's probably a better way to describe it, okay? Great new roguelites come out with like a certain degree of regularity, but the average new roguelite that comes out is kind of just good to middling. You know, everyone's going to be like, you know, what about Hades? What about, you know, Dead Cells, etc., etc.? You're missing, like, the like, 30 other games that came out that, you know, only Dan played. Weirdly enough, roguelites are like the exception that proves the rule. Like, I love variety in general in games, or in streaming at least, but the more roguelites I play, the more I actually just grow an appreciation for like the dozen or so that I very much love. You know, I think that's one where I'm like, the quality over quantity in that one for me is tilted in like the opposite direction of what it usually is. A lot of the times when I'm playing like a brand new roguelite that's like a 7 out of 10, it just makes me like appreciate the 8s to 10s that we already have that much more. Like, I get wistful for the game that I've played 6,000 hours of already. So that's more me setting the stage. Like, I would probably, like, I'll probably check out Returnal. I don't know. Like, it comes out so soon. It comes out in like a week. I might give it a segment and see how I feel about it. It's one of those, but like, by all accounts, it should be up my alley. But I need to give it a try before I know for certain. This is like, who cares? But I don't feel like Risk of Rain 2 is underappreciated. I feel like it's got like overwhelming, you know, positive reviews on Steam. Everybody who plays it like evangelizes it. You know, there were streamers who played the game for like, you know, 5-digit concurrent viewers. Like, I think it's well liked. I'm not locked out here with you. You're locked out here with me. Could you put a 3D roguelite in the bag for $1? Could you name a 3D roguelite? Ice Baby. The best familiar in the game, possibly. Now there's a chance. It's your favorite gimmick in the game in theory versus in practice? I mean, this one's pretty close to the top. I really do like the idea a lot of, you know, you craft your own items. I've realized, like, when you don't think about it, you're like, this is pretty sick. When you actually play it out in practice, the, you know, most frictionless way to win is to just, you know, either exploit Alabaster Box or, like, you know, just learn the recipes by heart and turn every run into Mom's Knife. Yeah, now if they had random recipes, now we'd be talking. I need it. I wish I didn't, but I do. He's learning how to bargain. Boy, I sure hope somebody got fired for that blunder. Chrysalis, thank you for the gifted subs. Thank you. This runs for you now. I'm leaving it all out on the table for Chrysalis. I'm doing it, man. We got to swing for the fences. This fence was not worth swinging for. That's a lesson learned. I was hoping we would pick up anything at all, really. You haven't happened to see anything at all, have you? Hey, has Levy replied to my Ivana Humpalot tweet yet? Might need some more context for that for anyone who didn't see the last episode. Just sounds like I'm harassing. Well, I am harassing him, but not in an 18 plus variety. It's just a simple friendly harass for content. You gotta know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. It is not your tinnitus, by the way. That is the vacuum cleaner. Don't freak out. It's okay. Just chill. It's just a Dyson. Watched Moneyball yesterday. Really liked it. Any other movie recommendations? If you liked Moneyball, this is me pretending to be Netflix. You just finished Moneyball. Would you like to watch Austin Powers, Goldmember? The algorithm has decreed you like vaguely intellectual movies starring Brad Pitt. Have you considered watching The Big Short? Please leave a review in the App Store. Big Short is a great movie. It's a fun movie. The problem with the Netflix algorithm is that all people have bad taste. I mean, I can't disagree. Like, if you look at the charts, like the top tens on Netflix, it'll make you question your faith in humanity. Like, every David Spade movie that comes out is like, number 4! Number one, we put season two of Grey's Anatomy on here. We don't have season one or season 3 through 11, but season two is on the top of the list right now. Also, do you remember that weird romantic comedy starring Mila Kunis that came out in 2013? For some reason, that's the most popular movie on Netflix for 4 months running. Nobody knows why. One person in the Midwest accidentally just left it on autoplay, and it's... we don't know how to stop it. Can't stop at this point. If I stop moving, I will be hit. Can't sleep, clown will eat me. Literally just can't be done. Stone Cold is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Dude, Stone Cold is kind of inspirational, right? He's a wrestler. I'm not the kind of guy who should be critiquing wrestling technique, I suppose, because I don't know what makes someone's sell good or bad, or what makes like a flying head scissors or a frog splash like look legit or whatever. The way I always thought about Stone Cold, though, I mean, obviously he's in better shape than the average person, but he was just like a normal guy that succeeded in the WWE because of an incredible amount of bravado and charisma. But then also, and you got to be careful with this stuff. You got to be careful with this, because you never know. But I'm under the impression as well that Stone Cold Steve Austin, the man, is actually like a cool guy. Is that correct? Like, you would expect, if he was... I'm trying to think of the best way to describe this. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's based, right? But in like the good way. Does a lot of charity work. Yeah, it's like he's so rude with his persona, but as a genuine human being, he seems like a nice guy. Like John Cena, right? You'd expect, well, John Cena is, I guess he's kind of a nice guy in the ring too, but you know, you kind of expect, given John Cena's like Mr. America persona, you know, Osama bin Laden has been compromised to a permanent end. You would expect that maybe, you know, he's not based, but it turns out he's actually based and Transformer pill. I haven't seen him in years. Yo, he's everywhere, man. He's in the new Suicide Squad. He was in Bumblebee. He was in the third Fred movie. I think it was called Camp Fred. Haven't seen him. Oh, I get it, because you can't see me. I get it. I understand. Yes, I did. I received the reply finally. And in fact, I received two replies from Anthony Fantano. We built in a laboratory, a hermetically sealed good take laboratory, a take that got him to respond on Twitter. It wasn't just to get him to respond. It was also my genuine opinion, which was that Bruce Springsteen is underrated by millennials and Zoomers. And if The Hold Steady released a song like Jungle Land, it would be the most revered song since 2006's All My Friends by LCD Sound System. He hit me with the laughing emoji, and I believe he said, "What even is the impetus for this take?" To which I informed him. And then he made a joke about Tame Impala, which I must admit I did not understand, but I clicked the heart button on it nonetheless. Because I've heard of the band Tame Impala, and sometimes YouTube Music is like, hey, you've been listening to a lot of Built to Spill. Maybe you'd also like this band Tame Impala. And I'm like, know your place, trash. Just play more Built to Spill. I know if I wanted to listen to new music, I'd turn on the radio, okay? You would probably know their song Elephant. Okay, is that the one that goes, oh wow 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 wow? You know what I'm talking about? That's Cannonball by the Breeders. Yo, 500 points to Gryffindor. You absolutely got it. Do you know the one that's like, the less I know the better? Is that the one that goes, I've been waiting on you, seasons change, I get some not to think of it. That's not... okay, that's another one YouTube Music plays for me from time to time. That's Seasons by Future Islands. Future Islands, Tame Impala, not the same band. Good to know. Good to know. Stop talking to me about the lightning and the thunder, dude. It's already stuck in my head. I am not familiar with the words of the Wiggles' classic song, Fruit Salad, Yummy Yummy, but I am familiar with the band, the Wiggles. They were like One Direction, but for people that are like 5 years younger than me instead of 10 years younger than me, I think. I'm not joking. The Wiggles are Australia's biggest export. You know, I bet that's not true. I bet it's something crazy like, you know, eucalyptus. Can somebody Google what Australia's biggest export to the United States of America is? I'd love to know. That's an interesting question. Copper. How about that? Iron ore. Yeah, sea macros. It's not the Wiggles. Bet you feel silly right now. with your very serious take. NL, are you part of the super stonk community on Reddit? We're trying to squeeze the hedge funds before they exit their short ladder. Jesse, what the hell are you talking about? I have absolutely no. I look, let's not even, but I don't know what those words mean, is all I'm trying to say. Yo, this is Incredible Eats, maybe? Hold on, I'm off. I'm not even reading chat, because chat's just going to tell me not to do it. Let's do it. This will be funny. Yeah, I don't buy those big-time stocks. I'm more of like a... I mostly troll the pink sheets. If you know what I mean. Not true, by the way. But anyway. Get me out of here. I can't believe I got the D10, dude. What a waste. Petition to remove this item from the game and have LeVar Burton host Jeopardy? Petition granted. Okay. Donkey, da dunk. Donkey dunk. Yeah, yeah. You want to get 2 hits per instead of 1 hit per. That's the secret. I finished 8 tinted post-it notes and I'm not going to touch Maggie because of this mechanic. I implore you to reconsider. Tainted Maggie so far has been a lot of fun. It's a little, you know, I say this as somebody who's literally done like 2 runs. It's not as much of a puzzle as like some of the other characters for sure. Like it's a little bit on the easy side maybe, from what I can tell so far. But it's fun. NL, did you ever skip class with Malph? I have said this, okay, and this is not a flex because I made up for it in university, but it's the honest to goodness truth. I literally never skipped a single class in high school. And now you're going to, because I'm questioning my own memory now, I know I didn't skip a class, but then you're like, what about that day that you were going to skip class to go to the beach, but it rained, and thus you didn't have to go to the beach, and instead you just went to your friend's house and watched Batman Begins? I'm thinking in my memory that was actually a half day and we weren't going to skip school. I think we only went for the morning that day. That I may have accidentally misremembered it, combined with some kind of senior skip day. Revisionist history. But I never skipped a class in high school. I did. It was only requested one time. I wasn't friends with the skippers. However, one time in 12th grade, an acquaintance of mine was like, hey, do you want to skip class and go to the movie theater and watch Date Movie? To which I said, nah, I'm good. And then that's the end of that. And I think I made the right choice. Oh, I mean, if you skip class to like go on a field trip or something, that's a different story. That's not skipping. Yeah, that's just... I mean, if you consider that skipping, you're probably, and I hate to say this, but it's true, you're probably like a bigger nerd than I am. And I competed in a Scrabble tournament locally when I was 9 years old. So that's tough. That's a tough bar to clear. Oh, dude, I forgot. I got too busy this morning. I had a great tweet for Levy. I was going to tweet Levy and say, hey, can you please do... a chess analysis of Austin Powers versus Ivana Humpalot, and then in brackets it was gonna say the year 2000 or 2001, which is when The Spy Who Shagged Me came out. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry, YouTube. This tweet has to be sent. Hey, Levy. Oh, I didn't even add him. Can you do an analysis of the classic 2000 game? Of the classic chess match, Powers v. Hump-a-Lot 2000. There's a lot of very bold moves made, and it could use your tactician's insight. And then you got to find a screenshot. Austin Powers Ivana Hump-a-Lot chess. And then there should be a screenshot. Oh, that's a perfect screenshot. And then we're just going to copy that in there. That tweet is... this is doing numbers. Oh, this is doing numbers. Okay. Anyway, I'm back. Sorry. It's from 1999. Whatever, man. America 1999 is like Canada 2000. Yeah, I really want to see his analysis of the part... where they treat the pieces as if they're nipples. I'm pretty sure Austin Powers opens with something like... it's like knight to like e6 or something like that. It's a very powerful opening. It gives you incredible control of the center. It forks a queen and a bishop. You can be taken with a pawn, but, you know, so be it. What if they don't take you? E-sports. Oh, hello, Daniel. Daniel, what did you had a washout run or something like that? I'm not used to getting raided 20 minutes after my stream starts. What happened? E-sports. Thank you for the raid, Daniel. Thank you. Need to rest before 11 p.m. ET e-sports. I have no idea what that means. Is Daniel participating in another Tarkov tournament? He has a sponsored thing from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Are you okay? Sponsored Summoner's War Tournament from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Oh my God. So congratulations are in order. That is so pog. So yeah, I'm thinking I'm pogged. Well, Daniel, I wish you the best in that. It's prime time, Vancouver time. I guess it does start at like 8 p.m. I'm awake for a little bit of that. I have no idea what I'll be looking for when I watch, but I might be around. We'll see. Voyboy's in it too. Dan, are you competing or are you like part of the talent side? You're competing. Yeah, I'm going head to head against Voyboy. Dude, it's not fair. Like, I'll just go ahead and say it. You always end up, you know, you do any esports event on Twitch, you always end up going head to head with like somebody that was like a literal esports athlete before they turned into like a variety streamer. It's not fair, man. Champions of Fire 1 got, well, I mean, I lost the Cobalt, but then, you know, people get, the Cobalt got bodied by Boxbox in the finals. Like, what are you supposed to do, right? It's Boxbox. He's got an incredible eye for systems. Champions of Fire 2, I got bodied by Hafu. And then Hafu got beaten by Yasuo. Like, you can't compete with these people who eventually, or like previously at one point in their life, their whole, you know, job, their career was being like the best in the world at dissecting a game's systems and how to exploit them to their advantage. Like, anyway, so I guess what I'm saying is good luck. It's a different flavor of gamer, let's put it that way. But I'm rooting for you regardless. Big Brother, though, look, I'm not gonna deny that Dan put on an incredibly impressive show on Big Brother. Here's what I'll say, okay? I think that Dan probably could have played 40% lighter in Big Brother and still won easily. I don't feel like when it comes to Big Brother, I don't feel like they're sending the best competition. That's just my take from watching the edits on YouTube. I mean, I feel like, and you know, I apologize here, but I feel like Like I've people went harder for the Checkpoint League where there was no prize money on the line than they did for Big Brother. With a couple of exceptions, admittedly. Put Egg in a room with Memphis and Frank and see if he walks out alive. I don't think I would be good on this show. I think I would just be bored, to be honest. I think I would welcome being removed from the premises. Yeah, I don't think I'm good at, like, putting on airs when people are annoying. I think I wear it on my sleeve too much. You put on airs for chat all the time? Yeah, now and then. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I do see the tinted skull, but we don't need it. Pretty sick. You mind on Bitcoins? Where we're going, we don't need tinted skulls. Is there any NFT you would actually buy? I'm not like an investor. I'm more of a collector. So for me personally, like, as you know, I'm big into the Crash Bandicoot scene. So I already have Crash Bandicoot on the run, figurine number 29 of 65, holding the blue hyena. It's Blue Hyena Crash holding the Wumpa Fruit. If you possess 1 through 28 or 30 through 65, please get in touch with me in my business inbox. I just want to talk. You can't listen to what I'm about to say. I think they're going to go to the moon. I don't see how they couldn't. First off, limited supply. Full resin statue. Looks to be about 6 inches tall. Don't ask me how I know that. I'm willing to pay conservatively 8 figures per Crash Bandicoot statue. They must be certified. They must have the original proof of purchase signed by Bobby Kotick himself. And then the other thing is, when I said 8 figures, what I meant is 2 figures with 6 decimal places. We're talking low. We're talking like 11, 12 bucks. But if you're willing to interface on those terms, please contact my ombudsman and fiduciary manager at the business inbox. Thank you. I should take it to Pawn Stars. That would be great. I just picture walking in and the guy's like, holy crap, is that Blue Hyena Crash holding the Wumpa Fruit, number 29 of 65? Where did you get this? Fell off a truck. Yeah, they would put me on the broadcast because it's a great story. I got paid by Activision to play the new Crash Bandicoot while wearing Crash Bandicoot's real hands. Is Pawn Stars even on the air anymore? I have no idea. I have no clue. Didn't one of them go to prison? Yeah, I think Chumlee went to prison for a little bit, and the patriarch of the family also passed away. What did he go to prison for? You know, it was like hardcore pawning. He pwned them. Yeah, exactly. Get pwned? Excuse me, Chumlee from Pawn Stars, you're accused of hardcore pwning. How do you plead? Oh, I gotta talk to my law guy first. Best I can do is no contest. A Ponzi scheme. Yo, there you go. You know, and again, I apologize. This is like investing adjacent. So Bernie Madoff died last week. You know, I don't want to say like rip to a legend. He ran like, you know, the largest Ponzi scheme in history, I guess, next to Dogecoin. But I was listening to a podcast about it, and they were I don't want to say laughing because that'll give the wrong message, but they were just musing on it. And they're like, you know, because of the fact, like, when Bernie Madoff got busted, over the next decade, they managed to recover about, like, 80% of what investors lost and then return it to the investors. Because he got busted in late 2008, which is actually, like, the middle of the financial crisis, for some of the investors, it was actually fortuitous that they were part of the Ponzi scheme because they only lost in the end 20% of their investment instead of like the, I don't know, 40 to 60% they would have lost in the market at the time, which is just, you know, just humorous, you know? Fate has a sense of humor, I suppose. My friend thought you were Tim the Tatman. Congrats. I have no comment on that. I'm just merely going to say thank you. Watch me on YouTube. I make many Warzone videos and have a dent in my head. I have a dent in my head from the headphones. And I have a famous clip in which I fell off my chair. Or maybe the chair broke. I can't remember. That's T1. No, T1 is the guy who... He has the clip of him holding his dinner up to the camera, and then it slides off the plate and then lands on the floor. Oh man, that's a good one. I don't care if it was clip farmed. That's a classic video. I see it reposted like maybe once every 3 or 4 months, and it's like, you know, girls, men don't know real pain. Men, when they see this video, or whatever. Anyway, who's the guy who sings Payphone? I actually don't know, but that's an all-time clip. Come on, man. Stop putting on airs. Imagine being so rich and bored you make a Ponzi scheme. Yo, Ponzi schemes are crazy, though. Like, and it's just, the human mind is, like, very easy to exploit, I think, if you're, like, a bad actor. And, because here's, I'm trying to think of the way to frame this. There was this blog I was reading, and the whole thing that the guy did on the blog was expose Ponzi schemes. So there's this British, I'm just going to call it a scam, but I don't remember the name. And basically what they tell you is like, hey, you buy in at like the bronze tier or the silver tier or the gold tier for like $500 to $2,000. And what they claim to do, which is not conceivable, is they take your original investment and then they invest it in... like high frequency foreign exchange trading, and then they pay you 5% of your original investment per week, which, you know, it maybe doesn't seem too insane until you realize that, like, you know, the average return from like the stock market is like 8% per year or something historically, then they're giving you 5% a week. Anyway, so this guy wrote a whole blog post explaining about how, like, it's literally inconceivable, and he called, like, the companies that were supposed to be involved with it, and they don't actually exist. They're, like, storage lockers in the Seychelles and stuff like that. But the blog post has, like, I don't know, like, 5,000 comments on it, and all of the comments are from people that are like, hey, buddy, like, I don't know what your problem is with this, but how could it be a scam? I gave them $1,000 2 years ago, and they've already given me like $5,000 in return. And you're like they're actually mad that this guy's like trying to expose this obvious scam, because they're like, it actually works. And you realize like that's like the crazy thing about a Ponzi scheme, man. A Ponzi scheme, like, if you're early, it kind of owns. It's like the greatest investment you could ever ask for. If you're late, it freaking sucks and you lose everything, because it's all, you know, castles in the sky. You know, it's not based on anything in reality except getting future customers. But like, if you're in the first like 25% of the people that invest in a Ponzi scheme, you're laughing all the way to the bank. No wonder they're out there trying to like you know, convince other people to get in, and also like anybody who threatens to expose it, they're like, okay, well, the real stock market returned 8%. I've already made 1,000% on my investment in this thing. You tell me what's the scam. And I'm like, well, the one that is just using future investors' money to pay out your original deposit, I guess. But like, I understand where you're coming from. So I've come to terms with the fact that actually I think Ponzi schemes own. You just have to be early. Or, yeah, if you run them. Well, no, because I think if you run them, you're screwed, right? Because then you go to jail. This is, by the way, for the purposes of this bit, this is satire. I would never run a Ponzi scheme. First off, it's unethical. Secondly, I'm like way too lazy. And that's just sincere. Why would I run a Ponzi scheme when I can just be paid to play Isaac and banter about nothing, right? Occam's razor. So as long as you keep Twitch running, no Ponzi schemes, there's a little carrot on a stick for you. But then secondarily, like, it's unethical, of course. But I think if you run the Ponzi scheme, though, that's mighty dangerous because you could go to prison for 180 years, like Bernie Madoff did. However, if you're like the third person to get invested in a Ponzi scheme and you just happen to be in the right place at the right time, I bet there's, and it's modestly controversial, a lot of people lost a lot of money in that Bernie Madoff stuff, but as someone who did not have skin in the game, I'd like to think it's been long enough that we could all joke about it now. I bet there were some people who were like, oh man, they sent Bernie to jail, huh? He did, that guy, he did amazing. He made my money go 10x in 5 years. The government's always trying to keep the little guy down. Anyway, that's my thoughts on Bernie Madoff. I do want to, when I said rip to a legend, what I meant was, now hold on, under no circumstances do you have to hand it to him. I'm just saying, watch the actual documentary, nobody won in the end. All right, well, you probably got me there. But in my head, it was a good bit, at least. Madoff's cell was nicer than my dorm room. Yeah, but you got to think of it like the taxpayer was paying a lot more for Madoff's cell than they were paying for your dorm room. So you get what you pay for. My dorm room cost $850 a month, and it was 19 square feet. That's, no, okay. Look, I believe it was small. I do not believe that it was 19 square feet. It was 6 feet by 3 feet. I don't believe that. Trust me, my dorm room was quite small as well, but 19 square feet. So it's like literally like if you are over 6 feet tall, it's impossible to lay down. If you laid down, your feet would be poking out of the door. Yeah, I don't think they put you in the dorm room. I think that's like the broom closet. 19 square meters, still pretty small. I suppose that's true. It could have been 19 by 1, I guess. When you put it that way, it's not so bad. You just got to turn sideways to get in and then stay sideways the whole time you're inside. And you also definitely could not sit down. If you sat down, you 100% would never be able to stand up ever again. But hey, for the right kind of self-starter, it's a great opportunity. Unique living situation in the East Village. There's a couple like games reporters I follow on Twitter, and I guess one of them is like apartment shopping in New York right now, and some of the listings that they post are so good. There's one where like the fridge and the oven are on like a corner together but facing out, so like you literally can't open either the fridge door or the oven door. Like the way it was set up, you'd actually have to like move your fridge out of the way in order to be able to open your oven door, and you're just like, just get rid of the oven, man. Like I you, the fridge, we've been through this before. The fridge is much more important than the oven. At that point, you don't advertise the oven. Just, yeah, buy him an air fryer or something. Come on. It's the perfect situation. Oh, baby. What were they thinking? Who made this? Kate's been watching some, like, apartment videos on YouTube as well, and some of them are crazy, like, there's this apartment in Korea where, like, it's incredibly small. It's not 19 square feet, but it's very, very tiny. And it's not meant to be a dorm room. It's meant to be, like, a place where you could live, perhaps even if you got lucky, like, with another human being. When you walk in, where you would normally maybe, like, put your shoes or something like that, there was just the toilet. Like, with no door, no nothing. There was just literally, like, the toilet sitting right there. Like, with no privacy curtain whatsoever. So, like, if you were pooping, your front door could not open. Which I guess is kind of a security measure, but it might be a little awkward, you know, if your partner's coming home from work or something like that. Yeah, it's like an apartment that basically I designed.